Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Let's pray. Father, I sure am glad to be here and thankful for what we've already enjoyed. And Lord, as always, I'm very aware of how big a mess I could make if I do not yield myself to Thee. So Lord, I pray now You'll take this frail creature of dust, this weak, base, despised thing of naught, use it for Your glory. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus and by His atoning death and through Your mercy that You'll help Your people today. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Have you ever in a conversation said something like this? "Oh, yeah, now I remember." Anybody ever had that experience? After somebody maybe gives you a few details and then you start remembering. But be honest, have you ever said, yeah, I remember that. And you were lying? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? We do it because you just want the conversation to go on. You know, it's sort of like somebody saying, "You know so-and-so, don't you?" And you know if you tell them no, they're going to try to tell you who it is and you just don't want to hear it. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Or maybe you say, "Jog my memory." Jog my memory. That word jog is interesting. Jog my memory. And then some of us know as we get older, we struggle with memory. I think I might have even told you this just a few weeks ago. Somebody was telling me about those three elderly ladies that lived in the same house, and one of them was standing at the shower holding a towel, and she couldn't remember if she was getting out or getting in. And the second lady was standing at the foot of the steps, just staring at the steps, and she couldn't remember if she was going up or if she had just come down. And they were both complaining about it. The third lady said, "Well, I'm glad I don't have that problem, knock on wood. Come in!" Sometimes our memory fails us, does it not? In 2 Peter, we've covered through verse 11. And in those verses, Peter has told them they're to add to their faith. They're to do it diligently. They are to work at growing in their walk with God. He tells them, add to their faith. He has told them in those verses that if you don't add to your faith, there are going to be some severe consequences. And he wants them to avoid those consequences. Some of those consequences would be in verse 9, they forget that they were even saved. Or they forget that they were purged from their old sin. So add to your faith. If you don't, there's going to be severe consequences. And then he says, but if you will grow and make some things sure, we talked about that last week, then there are great benefits, including you will never fall, which he mentions in verse 10. So there are severe consequences if you don't grow, but there's great benefits if you do grow. And then in our text today, beginning in verse 12, he says, in essence, in order to help you, I'm going to do my part. Peter says, I've been telling you these things and talking to you about certain things in these first 11 verses, and now I want to help you. Peter has a pastor's heart. He is a pastor. 1 Peter chapter 5, he numbers himself with the pastors. He's determined. In verse 12, he says, I will not be negligent. Which means there's some things I've got to do and I'm not going to ignore my responsibility. There's some things that are important and I'm not going to make light of them. Today, your pastor's not complaining. Don't you take this as a complaint. But I cannot as a pastor afford to be negligent. I have a duty. I have a responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God, not only because I'm going to answer to God, but it is for your benefit. And Peter knew that and he said, I can't be negligent. I want to help you. Then he says in verse 13, he said, not only that, I think it's meet, which means proper, it's fitting, it's the right thing to do. I want to help you, so I can't be negligent, and it's really the right thing to do anyway. And then in verse 15, he says, moreover, I will endeavor. That means to make every effort. He's eager, he's really wanting to do right. So how does he plan to help them? In verse 13, how does he want to help them? By stirring them up. I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up. If you look at chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." You know, sometimes you just need to be stirred up. And it's a good thing. The word stir, it's interesting if you study it. It means really to arouse or to awaken. And in John 6, this same word stir is translated rose, in the sense that what you read about in John chapter 6 verse 18, the sea, S-E-A, arose due to a great wind. A great wind came and stirred up the water. The wind of the Holy Spirit is supposed to stir us up. What stirs you up? You know what the Bible says over there in 2 Kings? It's 1 Kings chapter 21. It says Jezebel stirred up Ahab. Boy, his wife stirred him up. Did your wife get you stirred up? I mean, in a good way or a bad way. In Acts 17, Paul saw the city of Athens wholly given to idolatry, and the Bible says his spirit was stirred within him. Sin stirred him up. Idolatry stirred him up. Jezebel stirred up Ahab. What stirs you up? What winds of this world stir you up? The spirit of this age. Some men just have a lot of hot air and get you stirred up. A lot of hot wind, if you will. We sing a song here. The title of it is Sound the Battle Cry. And in that song, it says, "Rouse then, soldiers." What does that mean, "rouse then, soldiers"? It means get stirred up. Now, there are some things you don't want to stir up. I was in a church one time, and an elderly man raised his hand and said, "Preacher, can I say something?" We was talking about something very controversial, and it was getting a little bit thick in there. And he said, "Can I say something?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Let me just remind all of you men something. The more you stir it, the more it stinks." I mow a section around my pasture, my little pasture, and it's where the cows are. And every now and then in mowing, I stir some things up that would have been better off not stirred. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Just been better off not to have stirred it up. Some of you have certain appetites in your carnal nature that just don't need to be stirred. They don't need to be stirred up. What stirs you up? Talk radio stirs me up. That's the reason I don't listen to it. About 5 minutes from the house to here. Most mornings I might get 5 minutes. Boy, it just gets me stirred up at the ignorance in this country. Really gets me stirred up. Certain music gets me stirred up. That song stirred me up. I like that. Social media can stir you up. A photo album stirs me. I'd just about soon leave them on the shelf as well. Y'all do know what a photo album is. It's actually like a book. You pull it out, there's real pictures in there, and you don't have to use your finger to see them. Thought I'd tell you that. Might help you sometime. There are some things in your mind and in your heart that need to be left alone. And there are some things in your mind and in your heart that need to be stirred up. What needs to be stirred up? Notice something here in this passage. Look at verse 8. Verse 8, he's talking to them about the things they're to add to their faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, and so on. And in verse 8, he says, "For if," what's the next two words? "These things." Look at verse 9. "He that lacketh these things." Look at verse 10. "Give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things." Look at verse 12. "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Look at verse 15. "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." It sure looks like that Peter has certain things in mind, does it not? He said, "There's some things I need you to remember, and I'm going to try to stir you up." Peter wants to do his part. I want to do my part. I want to be determined to stir you up. Why is Peter so determined to remind them of some things and to stir them up? Well, I'll give you several reasons. Number one, Peter knows personally the pain of forgetting and thereby falling. He sure messed up, didn't he? Royally. Take it from somebody who forgot some of the things the Lord had said to him and fail miserably because he forgot those things and he failed. And now he said, I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to remind you. Why, Peter? Because I know personally the pain of forgetting and falling. There's a second reason. He knows the principle of repetition. Did you know there's just some things you just have to repeat over and over again? Repetition is a part of learning. I have guys come to me and they tell me that they want to be discipled, and I'll say, okay, are you wanting to be discipled biblically or practically? Are you wanting to know scripture, or are you wanting to be discipled and become a better man? What are you looking for? And I always ask them, and inevitably they say both, and I say, well, okay. And so we'll talk about academics, we'll talk about vocational skills, and we'll talk about learning the Bible, and we'll talk about all those things. And I'll usually test them to find out where they're at. And there's several ways I test young men, and sometimes I just test them by going over the multiplication table. Did you know if you're looking at somebody that's 19 and they can't tell you what 5 times 4 is, you've got a problem? Would y'all agree with that? And you don't have to be able to do, you know, higher math or calculus or trigonometry, but you might want to know how to budget. You might want to know how to balance your checkbook. It might be a helpful tool when you're married. You understand what I'm saying? How do you learn the multiplication table? Repetition. Just repetition. Somebody wrote, multiplication is vexation, division is bad, the rule of three doth puzzle me, and practice drives me mad. Some of you have heard that before. I said that to say this. Sometimes some of you leave here saying, I'm tired of hearing that. Then learn it. And God won't make me repeat it so much. The repetition is not my fault, it's your fault. You'll master some of these things, we can move on to other things. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good preaching, even if I'm doing it. Amen. How often did Jesus repeat himself? All the time. Why? Because a thick-skulled Peter. And James and John. And so here in this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12, look what Peter says. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. So don't think you're going to get anywhere with me by saying, Brother Ron, we know that. Okay, that's why I'm telling you that. Since you already know it, I'll remind you of it. Why does Peter want to help them and feel so compelled? He knows the pain of forgetting and falling. He knows the principle of repetition. Paul knew it in Philippians chapter 3. You know, Paul said, it's not grievous for me to write the same things to you. He said, I need to repeat these things. Paul understood that principle. There's another reason Peter is compelled. In verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Peter knows his time is short. He knows he's running out of time. So he wants to do what he can while he can. Boy, I understand that principle more than ever in my life. I wish some of us could take our understanding and comprehension of how fast time goes by and stick it in some of you. And nobody could have done that for us when we was 17 and 18, and so we don't expect to be able to do it for you, and we're not beating you up, but you might want to just take God's word for it. Your time is short. And I can promise you from 16 to 60 is about like that. And you look back and say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Life. While you were preoccupied by things you should have forgotten. We have a tendency to remember the things we ought to forget and to forget the things we ought to remember. When you do, life goes by and you look at all of your failures and you can't believe you're already thinking about where are you going to be buried? And where's the cemetery plot? And what kind of... And you're already putting a will out there and you're doing all of these things because you know your time is short. And Peter understood that. There's another reason he was compelled in verse 15. He wants to leave something behind. He said, my time's short. I want to get this done. And then he said, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Surely you'd like to live a life that would make a difference for the next generation. Why would you want your influence to die when you do? Amen. Peter understands all of this, and so he wants to do his part. He says, I'm not going to be negligent. So he's resolved. I'm going to stir you up. How are you going to do that, Peter? Well, in verse 12, put you always in remembrance. Verse 13, put you in remembrance. Verse 15, having these things always in remembrance. Have you ever had that miserable, uneasy feeling that you have forgotten something? Tomorrow morning, for about 55 minutes, I will endure that feeling. As I fly to Houston to preach for Brother Roger this next week, I will be thinking, what have I forgotten? It's a miserable feeling, isn't it? Especially sometimes you ladies, you're an hour down the road and you're thinking, did I turn that eye off? And you're scared to death to ask your husband if he could possibly turn around. I mean, isn't that a miserable feeling? Did I turn it off? Did I leave it running? A miserable feeling of forgetting something, especially when you're on a trip. Why does that happen? Because you have too many things on your mind. Did y'all hear what I just said? I just said one of the most profound things you'll ever get a hold of. The reason you forget so many things that are important is because you have too many things that are unimportant on your mind. We need to be stirred up by being reminded of some things. So we'll say, yes, Brother Ron, I remember. The words remember and forget are not always what we think. We really do not understand the definition of those words. We use those words incorrectly. Look at Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to have you look at a little Bible this morning. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 13. Paul said this. We're going to look at several passages. We don't normally do a lot of this on Sunday morning, but please work with me this morning. The Bible says in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What's the next word? Forgetting. You mean you can choose to forget? He does. He says forgetting those things which are behind. He said that's the way I'm going to be able to go forward. I've got to forget some things. The word forget does not mean what you normally think it means. Now, yes, it's true that as we get older, and even as we are young, sometimes you meet a family with seven kids, and they introduce themselves the next week. You can't remember one of their names. That means you forgot their name. In that sense, the word forgot, we use it properly, but that's really not the way the Bible uses the word forgot or forget. It's not the way the Bible uses the word remember. You can forget something on purpose. You ever had somebody tell you something really, really, really important, something you were excited about, and they say, now don't you forget to be there. Oh, you don't have to worry about that. I'll be there. I wouldn't forget that. As if you can choose to remember what you really want to remember. Now you're using the word correctly. Look at Isaiah chapter 47. I'll give you the biblical definition. Isaiah. Look at chapter 47. You've told people, I promise you, I'll not forget that. So evidently you think you can remember what you want to. That's the Bible definition. That's the Bible principle, I should say. 47:7. A lot of times the Bible defines its own words. Verse 7, Isaiah 47. And thou sayest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. A lot of times the word remember just means to lay it to heart. It means that if you forget, you're making light of it. A married couple, every now and then, on a rare occasion, once in a blue moon, will have an argument. And it'll get heated. And it'll get intense. And one of them will say something really ugly. And you know what a woman or a man will do in that situation? They'll forget every good thing the other one ever did. And the next day they're at the lawyer's office because they've forgotten some things. They really have. It's the way it works. One of the keys to growth and going forward is to remember the right things by choice. You look up the word remember, here's what it says. Call back to one's mind. It's like God expects you to just recall some things on purpose. Remember means to call back to one's mind. It also says to be mindful. It means on purpose, remember the right things. Listen to Psalm chapter 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will what? Remember the name of the Lord our God. We're going to focus on, we're going to be mindful of, we're going to concentrate on, we're going to meditate on. The word remember means to call to your mind, to think about, to meditate. The Bible says this in Psalm 77:11. I will remember the works of the Lord. What does he mean by that? I'm going to think about God's hand. I'm going to think about the works of God. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to remember them on purpose. Why does the Bible say in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth? You're not forgetful. Young people have a good memory. Some of you young people remember what you did when you were 6. I can't remember what I did when I was 20. And yet the Bible says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. What does he mean when he's telling young people that? He's telling you to think about what really matters. He's telling you to call to your mind the fact that you have a creator. I'll show you how this works. Turn to Psalm 100 real quick. Psalm 100. He says, remember now. Think about it. Consider it. Bring it to mind. Go home. Meditate on the fact that you have a creator. If America would think about that, you know what happened to America in the 60s? We started teaching evolution and forgot that we had a creator. Think about it. God doesn't say to young people, remember now thy creator, because he's afraid they've got a bad memory. He says it because it's a choice for them to remember, to bring into their mind, to think about it, to contemplate it. I had a very, very brief devotion with the teenagers Friday night. Here was my devotion. I didn't get the Bible out. I didn't go verse to verse. I just gave them a phrase from the book of Haggai that says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. I told them, quit worrying so much about what me or mom and dad thinks about everything. They're old enough now to consider their own situation and ask themselves, where's this going to lead me? If I keep doing this, where's this going to lead me? What's it going to cost me? And how will it affect my relationships? That's my message Friday night to the teenagers. I told them, be mature, be an adult. Don't just let Brother Ron or your parents make all your... Don't let us do your thinking for you. That you're old enough, mature enough, you got a Bible, you got the Holy Spirit, you claim to be saved. Consider your ways, think about your ways, and do three things. Where's this going to take me? What's it going to cost me, and how's it going to affect my relationships? I was just trying to get them to remember, to contemplate, to think on certain things. And so Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy creator. Look at Psalm 100. You're one of the most familiar psalms in all the Bible. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Think about that. Remember now that you have a creator. Go home this afternoon and think about the fact that God made man, that you are not a self-made man, that you are not in control of things, that there's a creator in heaven. And you better remember that, because you're going to answer to him. Remember what Isaiah said. He's the potter, we're just the clay. You need to remember that. You know what we all do? We forget that and we get out there thinking we can do what we want to with no repercussions. That we can do our own thing. Don't forget that you have a creator. I'll tell you why to remember now. I'm talking about remembering. You know what Abraham said to the rich man in hell? He said, remember that thou in thy lifetime... That rich man in hell is begging for a dip of... Rich man or Lazarus let him dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. He just wants a drop of water, and he's crying out, and Abraham's, remember. Well, I'll tell you why you better remember now. Because you'll remember then. Boy, it's a scary thing to think in hell you'll have a memory. And you'll remember 2020 and some old preacher standing up in the pulpit telling you got to be born again. that if you don't trust Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell. If you don't live for God, the repercussions are terrible. You know why I need you to remember right now some things and call to mind some things? Because you will in eternity. Better remember it now. You better remember what's important. You know what Jesus said in Luke 17? I've always found this profound, and I've studied the context. I know the context of the second advent. He said, remember Lot's wife. What in the world is she worth remembering for? I don't know all that Jesus had in mind there. He's telling them there's going to come a time they're going to have to flee into the mountains. Just like He told Lot and his family, they better flee and get out of Sodom. But He told her, said, don't look back. Angel said, don't look back. She looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt. What are we supposed to learn from that? Well, I guess we could learn that when God says go, don't delay. Maybe we could learn that when God says something, He means it. Might be a lot of things to remember about Lot's wife. Don't allow things to own you. I don't know what she was looking back at. The furniture? The closet? The wardrobe? The dresses? It's all going up in smoke and she looks back. Maybe we need to be reminded by Lot's wife that if God condemns something, it's not something you want to give your heart to. If God condemns it, don't give your heart to it. But I'd rather focus on another story. I want to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. This is where we'll camp out for a few minutes, right here in these two or three chapters, or this area of the Bible. We're trying to get a hold of Peter saying that we need to get stirred up in order to grow. And the way that we might experience growth and being stirred is by remembering some things. And I'm trying to show you the biblical explanation of this thing about remembering and forgetting. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse 9, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, only take heed to thyself. And what's the next word? Keep. What does the word keep mean there? Guard. Like a keeper of the prison. Keep. Okay? So he says, I want you to take heed and keep, guard your soul. How? Diligently. Why do they need to take heed and guard their soul diligently? Lest thou forget. Isn't that interesting? He said, if you don't guard your soul diligently, you're going to forget the things which thine eyes have seen, unless they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. I'm reminded of the passage I use often in a message called Restoring the Soul, where the Bible says in 1 Peter, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And what Moses is teaching in Deuteronomy, what God is teaching in all of those passages is that if you allow certain things to come into your mind, heart, and soul, you'll forget things that are more important. He says here, take heed, guard, protect, keep your soul, lest you forget some things. Look at chapter 6. Those are strong words. Take heed, guard diligently, or keep rather. And then in chapter 6, look at verse 10. Chapter 6, verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and art and be full, then what? Beware lest thou forget the Lord. What in the world is he talking about? This could shed light, by the way, on that passage in 2 Peter where Peter said, when you make bad choices, you end up forgetting that you were purged from your sins. You get so caught up in the world, you forget the spiritual work that God's done in your life. You don't even think about it anymore. He's telling them right here in Deuteronomy, he said, you're going to get all these houses and all these four-wheelers and all these gun cabinets and all of this hunting equipment and these boats and these zero turns, and you're going to forget me. Is that the principle or not? It's what causes us to forget. It's what causes us to... What comes to our mind? What do we remember? The word remember means to call to mind on purpose, to be mindful of on purpose. What are we mindful of on purpose? Who won the game yesterday? Or what Brother Ron's preaching on this morning? What is it that we call to mind? What is it that we remember? What is it that we dwell on? Look at chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. First word, what is it? Beware, strong language, that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He said you're going to get all these things and they're going to occupy your mind and they're going to occupy your heart and you're not going to call to mind what God has done for you. Psalm 78. Keep your finger right there in Deuteronomy. I'll show you something in a minute, but turn to Psalm 78. It's not a long message today. I'm almost through, believe it or not. It's not a long message. I'm giving you a Bible principle because Peter says if you're going to grow, you're going to have to remember some things. If you're going to get stirred up, you're going to get stirred up by remembering some things. While some of you, one of your buddies that played high school ball with you could start talking about a ball game that you was in 35 years ago and get you stirred up, and that's all you could remember. It stirs you up. I didn't say that was wrong. But you get to choose what you remember. I understand the other definition of forget, but I'm not looking at that one. I'm looking at a more biblical definition of it. Look what the Bible says here in Psalm 78. Look at verse 1. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known. They should make them known to their children. Why? That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. You know what's scary about this one? Fathers play a huge role in what occupies the mind and heart of their children. Fathers play a huge role in what occupies the mind and heart of their children. Remember the definition? Remember, be mindful. Go back to Deuteronomy 32 and I'll show you how this works. Deuteronomy 32. Do you remember Peter's desire was to help the people there in 2 Peter? And he's telling them about some things that they need to bring to mind versus what they need to forget. Do you realize if I hear your daily conversation, I can pretty well tell you what you're remembering to remember? Did y'all follow what I just said? If I listen to what you talk about and over a period of a week, I can pretty well tell what you're remembering to remember and what you're choosing to forget and not be mindful of. And would you agree with me, church? I'm not trying to beat you up. I want you to think about this. Would you agree with me that our minds are preoccupied with things of lesser importance? And we're forgetful of things that are of much greater importance. This is a bad illustration because it's one of those things some of you get tired of the repetition because you haven't learned it yet. But it's amazing to me how much I hear people who don't play sports talk about it. They're not an athlete. They're not even good. But they're just eat up with it. That's not healthy. It's not healthy if you are good at it and that's all you can think about and talk about. It controls the conversation in our day. I didn't say it was a bad thing, but it sure is mighty insignificant compared to much more important things. You can tell a lot about what people are mindful of by listening to the conversations. And so, Deuteronomy 32, verse 18... Deuteronomy 32, verse 18. I find this profound. He said, of the rock, capital R, that begat thee, thou art what? Unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. There's your definition. You know what being forgetful is? It's being unmindful. I'm not talking about things you can't recall. I'm talking about things you choose not to recall. It is the way God uses the term in the Bible. Now, do you remember what we read in Philippians 3? I won't take you back there where Paul said, he said, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul said, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to focus on knowing Christ and Him crucified, and therefore I'm going to forget those things which are behind. By the way, just so you'll know this, Paul's not talking about bad things. We always quote that verse and say, well, I know you've had some bad things happen to you. Paul says forget those things. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the good things. He's talking about the successes. He's talking about the things God's done in his life. And he's made some progress and he's grown, but he said, I can't dwell on that because I got to go forward. I can't constantly be rejoicing in what I did 20 years ago. I need to do something now. And so Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. So I said, you can choose to forget. Have you ever heard of selective hearing? Boy, I've known some people who have selective hearing. I always like to get around them when nobody else is around and just almost talk to them like this and just see if they can hear what I'm saying. And it's amazing how many of them can really hear well. But not when their wife's talking. Selective hearing. How about selective memory? Doesn't the Bible say in Colossians 3, set your affection? What's that talking about? What you think about. What you enjoy. What you... He said, set it. Set your affection. Decide what you're going to think about. Decide what you're going to dwell on. Philippians 4 gives you boundaries for your mind and says, think on these things. The Bible tells you that there's things you can choose to remember. You can be mindful of those things. So church, listen to me. We have an adversary, the devil. And our adversary and our culture and our own sinful nature are working around the clock to keep us mindful of things that are counterproductive to the work of God. They don't have to be bad things. They don't have to be evil things. But I'm telling you, the world, the flesh, and the devil are working together to keep our minds preoccupied, mindful of things that are very unimportant compared to what we should be mindful of. And so our minds are preoccupied. I keep telling young people, you can actually live and enjoy life if you never go to a theater, if you never go to a theme park, if you never go jump on a trampoline, you can have a happy life. But they're always planning the next event. I wonder how many of them got together this morning and prayed. I wonder how many of you checked the scores, checked the email, checked your phone, or spent some time begging God this morning to show up at Cornerstone. Yes, amen. Are any of those things wrong? Not necessarily. It's what we choose to be mindful of. Yes. So what does Peter want us to remember? Let's go back there and we'll close. I'll talk to you tonight about some things that I remember. Lord willing. And really, I could have done this without even having you to turn, but I want to show you real quick what Peter wants us to remember. If he's talking about these things, which he seems to emphasize in chapter 1 five times, maybe he wants us to remember verse 1 to 4, what God has given us. He's given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness, according to verse 3. Has God been good to you? Amen. Think about it. Remember it. I mean, tonight after church, go home and think about how God saved you and how He rescued you, how He redeemed you. You ever stop and think about where you could have ended up if God hadn't intervened? Hey, are you glad you was born in America instead of Iraq? Amen. Think on these things. Remember these things. Think about, I think sometimes as I look at my nine brothers and sisters over the years, and I look where I was at in Alabama in 1968, I look at the environment that I was surrounded by. I was in the back of a Mach 2 Mustang one time with my brother-in-law behind the steering wheel, drunk out of his head. Those Mach 2s registered 140 back in the 60s. He's on a two-lane highway in Alabama, and his brother's right beside him, and his brother's drunk out of his head, and they're racing down a two-lane highway, and I saw the needle go past 140. As a little boy, it scared the living daylights out of me. I don't know why God spared me from that environment. Many of my family members ended up in drugs and alcohol. God somehow spared me. Man, think on these things. Get stirred up about it. Get stirred up about how God saved you and rescued you, redeemed you from a life that could have been hellacious and put you in a good home and put you in a good church. Peter evidently wants us to remember those things. He evidently wants us to remember the things we're supposed to add to our faith in verses 5, 6, and 7. He evidently wants us to remember the great potential for joyful success or painful failure in verse 8 and 9. He wants us to remember that we can help to influence how we're going to enter the kingdom in verses 10 and 11. But it looks like the thrust of verses 12 through 15 is we must choose to remember the right things or suffer the consequences.
And the consequences we'll get to next week.
We live in a vile world, church. Would you agree with me this world's getting bad? We better get focused on the things that we're going to need to remember when it gets worse. Can I be the doom and gloom preacher for a minute here? I don't see it getting a whole lot better. To be honest with you, I hope it does. I hope it gets better for America. But it's not going to get better for the church. I keep hearing people talk about the church getting a revival and all this stuff. Listen, folks, I've been watching the church at least since the 70s, and I probably could say the 60s, but 70s and 80s and 90s, 2000 up to 2010. I'm in my fifth decade of looking at the church, and I've only seen it get worse. I've never seen it get better in 50 years. We're getting farther and farther away. I'm talking about the church in general in America is not getting closer to God. They're getting farther from God. And if they're going to get further from God and the world's getting further from God, you're going to need to remember some things. And you need to get stirred up about the right things. Like your salvation, what God brought you out of. How many times has God answered your prayers? Maybe you ought to think about some missions conferences we've had at Cornerstone every now and then. Instead of getting with your buddies and talking about that ball game 32 years ago where you don't even remember really if you scored 20 points or 21. Or maybe you've embellished it and now you scored 35. You better hope nobody ever pulls out the records to find out how much of that story has been embellished. You choose to remember those things. Why don't we choose to remember what God's done? Amen. And talk about those things and try to get stirred up spiritually. Have you had any personal victories in your life? Remember those things. Has God put somebody special in your life? Think on those things. God says you need to remember certain things and get stirred up in the right way. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. I'm not going to give an invitation this morning.